Good evening and welcome to A Closer Look. Did you know that the Lehigh Valley has more than 800 active and locally focused nonprofits in one of the most concentrated areas in the United States? Well, together we will take a closer look at what they do, who's leading them, and how are they helping our Lehigh Valley community? And more importantly, how can you, our listeners, get involved? My name is Laurie Hackett, and I am lucky enough to be so engaged with many community nonprofits, and I work side by side with them. Together, we have seen how much they do to support our community and move us forward. So thank you for joining us. We're excited about tonight's guests, so let's get started. Tonight, our first guest is Pete Castagna, President and CEO of Miller Keystone Blood Center. Good evening, Pete, and welcome to A Closer Look.
Good evening, Laurie. Thanks for having me.
Oh, we're glad that you're with us. Pete, the work that Miller Keystone Blood Center does in our community is incredible. Could you tell our listeners more about the agency?
Yeah, so the operative word is that we are a community blood center. Community meaning the hospitals we serve and the patients those hospitals serve are part of the community. The donors we work with and the organizations who also provide donors to us are also part of the community. So we really are right in the middle of all that. You know, we try to connect donors with the patients through collecting the blood, processing it, and then distributing it to the region's hospitals.
And Pete, we've just come through COVID, you know, still lingering effects of it. What happened to your work during COVID? How busy were you? You were a frontline provider of so much of the blood that we needed. Could you talk about that experience?
It was an incredible experience, as I'm sure for any healthcare organization or any organization that was dealing with the pandemic. For us in particular, once again, we're an extension of the hospitals here in the region. So from one aspect, hospitals had to cancel surgeries. And when you cancel surgeries, the need for blood declines. So we had to adjust our collection process to meet the needs of the hospitals as it changed. You know, they canceled their surgeries and they reopened the hospitals and increased the surgeries. And so we had to work very closely with the hospitals as well as our donor community to make sure we could provide a continuous flow of blood for those patients that needed it. The other thing we needed to do was keep our donors and our employees safe. They had to come to work every single day. Mm-hmm. And it is really a testament of the community. We had donors that got it. They come every 2 weeks for platelets or every 8 weeks to donate whole blood. And they kept coming. And they followed our safety measures that were provided by the CDC. But we're really proud that we kept our employees and donors safe through that whole process. And then the final piece, one of the early therapies to treat COVID patients was something called convalescent plasma. So if you had COVID, after you recovered, the antibodies in your blood were extremely high and they were used to treat some of the early patients before the vaccine was available. Mm-hmm. So we actually produced over 5,000 units of convalescent plasma for the local hospitals and actually for our armed services as well.
Wow. Pete, Miller Keystone does so much, and I know how much you depend. I mean, you just shared the numbers with us on our donors. Could you talk a little bit more about the numbers? How many pints of blood are donated each month, each year?
Yeah, we actually have about 50,000 donors that will donate at least once per year. And within those 50,000 donors, we have I think you've met some of the folks. We have 13 donors that have donated over 100 gallons in their entire lifetime. We also have about a little over 8,000 donors that have donated at least 5 gallons of blood in their lifetime. So a lot of what we depend on are those donors that get it. They come, you know, when they're eligible to donate. Then we also have that donor base of organizations that run blood drives like Air Products that when the call goes out, yeah, they show up for the blood drive and they donate because they want to give back to the community. So it's staying in touch with those organizations as well as with our loyal donors that get it and come when they're eligible. That's how we do what we do.
And what challenges is the Miller Keystone Blood Center facing now?
Well, the pandemic has created an incredible number of challenges. Number one, as we know, there's labor shortages in certain aspects, especially in healthcare. So our ability to hire, train, retain, especially phlebotomists and our frontline staff has been a real challenge. And we've been working really hard, but we've had to adjust. We've had to limit the number of blood drives we do. And that's really due to some organizations, too, not allowing us to come into their facility trying to keep their employees safe, especially high schools and colleges through the pandemic. So we've had to adjust also with the staff that we do have to try to redirect a lot of our donors to our donor centers. We call them fixed sites. And we just opened up our newest one in on Hamilton Avenue in Allentown. So a lot of those efforts to educate our donors, to get them to go to a different place to donate and find new donors to replace some of those that, for whatever reason, because we're not going to their company, they don't donate anymore. That's taken a lot of work and effort by our team.
Pete, I know throughout the year you have to continually remind donors about the importance of saving lives by giving blood. Mm-hmm. And I know you do this in a variety of ways, and one of those is through some special events. I know you have something coming up this summer. Could you talk more about that?
Sure. You know, one of our most incredible donor base is our first responders. Firemen, you know, police, EMS, they donate on a regular basis because they get it. They see it. They understand the need for blood. So one of the things we're doing this summer to pay tribute to those first responders, but also to raise the awareness to the community, especially during summer months when schools are closed, where we can't run blood drives, we're going to be running events. The one being here in Bethlehem is going to be held on July 16th and 17th at our donor center on Valley Center Parkway. The feature of the event is a 9/11 Never Forget mobile display. And that was created by the Tunnels to Tower Foundation. If people know the story of Tunnels to Tower, it was started through the inspiration of a fireman, Stephen Siller, who lost his life in 9/11. He actually ran through the Brooklyn Battery Tunnel with his full gear on and ran up into the World Trade Center and to help save lives. Lost his life in doing so, but his family has used that loss in his memory to start a foundation that helps first responders who are there at Ground Zero with their medical bills, housing, and support of their families. So one of the things they built is this mobile museum, and it's called the Never Forget Mobile Exhibit. It's an 1,100-square-foot exhibit in a trailer that opens up, and they staff it with five first responders who were actually there at Ground Zero on 9/11 to give tours. So if you've ever seen the museum in New York, this is a piece of that. Mm-hmm. So you get a chance to really experience what happened that day and who it affected by people who were there in person. So that display will be there on July 16th and 17th, and they'll be giving tours. So we invite the community to go through, tour the operation. At the same time, we're going to be running a community blood drive. Correct. And our goal is to collect 343 units of blood, which is the number of firefighters that lost their lives that day.
Oh, Pete, wonderful. Listeners, please mark your calendars. We know they will because that's the kind of community we live in. So thanks for sharing that. Pete, as the leader of Miller Keystone Blood Center, I know you've had a background in healthcare. Tell us about your leadership style and your experience at Miller. What's it like to be so involved with an organization whose mission is so important to our community?
It's really been refreshing for me, and I always tell people that sometimes you find a job and sometimes a job finds you. I've spent most of my career with public companies in healthcare, large companies, where you didn't really get a chance to know everybody. Mm-hmm. And even though you knew you were doing something good when you woke up every day, providing some value to healthcare, not nearly as involved in the community, especially on the non-for-profit side. So in the case of me, it's given me an opportunity to take everything I've learned in my career and focus it back on a community and give back and really get a chance to work directly with people, face-to-face, not only our employees, but also the community itself, and really help and inspire people to sustain our mission in the community.
And Pete, you know we live in a community that is just ripe with collaboration and partnership. Are there examples of other nonprofit organizations that Miller Keystone Blood Center partners with?
Yes, we do partner with other organizations like the Childhood Leukemia Foundation. Every year, I believe it's the month of October, we partner with them to create awareness because those patients need transfusions of platelets. So we'll highlight a patient each day during that month. And, you know, once again, we work closely with them. They help promote our organization to their members as well because there is that crossover.
And Pete, as you think about your leadership as a nonprofit leader, what do you think your legacy will be?
Wow. Great question, Laurie. You know, I think the way I always look at it is I feel I'd like to leave the organization in a better place than when I got here. And it's a great organization when I got here. It's, you know, I've never been in an organization where people not only strive to have our core values, but they live them every day. And those being trust, integrity, customer focus, and most importantly, passion. I've never seen an organization that had a passion for the mission like the folks at Miller Keystone do. So, you know, it's making those investments, creating the next level of leadership to help sustain the mission's organization. So, you know, I think to answer your question is to make sure there's an organization here when I leave that can even do better than what we did during the time I was here.
Perfect. Thanks for that. Pete, how can our community get involved with Miller Keystone?
Well, there's a couple of ways. And the most important thing is donating blood. Mm-hmm. If you've donated before and you understand the process, please get on our website, giveapint.org, or call us at 1-800-BA-DONOR and schedule a donation. You know, we actually, there's a lot of great information on our website of where our donor centers are, where there's drives scheduled in the community that are open to the public. But the most important thing you could do is be a donor if that's what you want to do, or convince others in your family how important it is for the community, because you never know when you're going to need that unit of blood. If you work for an organization or run an organization, please give us a call. We have a team in our donor recruitment organization of account managers that work closely with businesses to schedule blood drives, to help them coordinate the blood drives and make sure we fill the schedule and they're run with a high level of customer service. So that's another way you can really help us. But it's really about the need for blood and that it's a continuous need. We need 450 donors to present themselves every single day to meet the needs of the local hospitals.
Thank you, Pete. And Pete, how long has Miller Keystone been so active in our community?
So we just celebrated our 50th anniversary this past April, and the celebration really was a celebration of the community. As you know, Lori, you were there that night as one of our board members and on our development committee as well. It was a great celebration to have those 100-gallon donors in the room, our volunteers in the room, organizations like Air Products in the room, our board members in the room. It was just great to celebrate all the people who had made the Blood Center. We had past executives from the Blood Center in the room, just sharing that moment together of what the organization has done over the years and how important the community has been to the success of Miller Keystone Blood Center.
And if I could add to that, it was a fantastic event. And another highlight of the night was you had a recipient speak to all of us. So Sophia Groves gave an amazing story about how her life was saved because of the incredible work of Miller Keystone and the generosity of people who have donated blood on her behalf. And that was a really touching part of the program as well. So
she's an amazing young lady. Mm-hmm. And probably the most amazing display of what this community is all about.
Pete, is there anything else we should know? Anything we didn't get a chance to talk about today that you'd like to share with our listeners?
Yeah, once again, I think the most important thing is we need your help. And if you know somebody that wants to be a phlebotomist, please let us know. We certainly want to hire and continue to build our great team. But I think it's really comes down to the need for blood. And as I said before, our website has some great information at giveapint.org or contact us at 1-800-BE-A-DONOR. You know, we live in an incredible community. We're thankful because through the pandemic, really showed we had organizations and people that really stepped up and helped us. And I'd like the community to know that. It's very special.
Thank you, Pete. Your energy, your sincerity, your enthusiasm and passion is certainly evident. And so thanks for being with us on the show tonight and for sharing information about Miller Keystone.
Thank you, Lori.
Thanks again for joining us, Pete. Coming up, we have Katara Jordan, who is the director of the James Lawson Freedom School. We'll be right back.
WDIY News engages the Lehigh Valley with accurate, unbiased reporting from many sources, with volunteer real voices providing context and definition for thought.
For WDIY News, I'm Sarit Lashinsky.
For WDIY News, I'm Marcy Lightwood.
For WDIY News, I'm Mike Flynn.
Listen to WDIY News during Morning Edition, Fresh Air, and All Things Considered daily here on WDIY, streaming on WDIY.org and on the WDIY phone app.
Welcome back to A Closer Look. Our second guest tonight is Katara Jordan, who is the director of the James Lawson Freedom School. Welcome, Katara.
Hello, Laurie. So happy to be here.
Oh, we're glad to have you. You know, people have been talking a lot about Freedom School, and I think a lot of our listeners are just interested in learning more. We know that your mission is certainly to inspire young adults to make a difference in themselves, in their community, and in the world. How beautiful is that?
So beautiful. We are excited. Freedom School Summer 2022 is kicking off. We are actually starting with our first site on Monday, June 20th. So we will be welcoming 200 scholars this year, 50 scholars at each site. We have four sites throughout the Lehigh Valley. The James Lawson Freedom School is a place where our scholars can see themselves. It is a place where they can be creative. It is a place where they are loved. They are accepted. They find belonging in the Freedom School. So we are so, so excited to welcome them on Monday. And to get our summer started.
So you talk about, the students are the scholars.
The scholars,
tell
yes.
us more about the students. How old are they? Where do they come from?
Absolutely. So we are throughout the Lehigh Valley. We have four sites this year, as I mentioned. We have three in Allentown, and we have one site in Easton at Greater Shiloh Church. Our scholars range from kindergarten through 12th grade. So we really want to make sure that we are honing in on all the levels, you know, as much as possible. We focus on Black and brown children in the Lehigh Valley. Not that we don't open our doors to anyone that need our services, but we really want to make sure that our Black and brown children have a space throughout the summer where they can be. We really focus in on the summer sliding scale. So just making sure that we are giving them that curriculum through the summer that's going to keep them where they need to be for when they return to school.
So students have just completed a year of academics, and then they start this six-week summer intensive.
It is intense. So it is all about literacy. You know, we want people to understand that this is not a summer camp. This is not a daycare. This is a place where we utilize the integrated reading curriculum. So the James Lawson Freedom School, we are under the Children's Defense Fund. That is where we get our curriculum from, which is a national model. Freedom schools are all over the country. But here in the Lehigh Valley, James Lawson is the only freedom school. So we want to really focus in on literacy in our curriculum. We focus on six core areas throughout the summer. So the first week is focusing on self. The second week is focusing on family. The third week is focused on community. The fourth week is focused on the world. The fifth week is focused on giving back. And then our sixth week, we rounded off with our National Day of Social Action. So that's kind of how our weeks are broken down. We use a multi-generational leadership model. So we bring in interns, and those are the ones who are actually teaching our scholars every day. So we get interns from all our local colleges, Muhlenberg. We have a lot coming from Lehigh this year, from Temple University. So we're excited.
And I saw on your website, there's so much great information, by the way, yes. which I know you'll share that
Absolutely.
Information soon, that you call your interns...
We call them servant leader interns. Yes.
Talk about that.
We do. We call them servant leader interns because we want them to understand that they are there to serve our scholars. We are excited that, you know, when we bring them on, and they are Black and brown scholars as well, you know, we want them to mirror the children that they are going to be serving. We want our scholars to understand that when they look at these interns, they can be there in a couple of years. They have that opportunity. So our interns are brilliant, and they come from all different backgrounds. We have pre-med. We have engineers. We have art students that are coming in to teach our scholars this year. So that is a part that I really kind of pour into, the interns, because while we are teaching, of course, our scholars in the Valley, we want to make sure as adults that we are giving back to that middle range, those college students. They really need the guidance and the support as well. So,
could you talk a little bit more about the experience that the interns will have?
Yeah. So the interns, they actually get an intense training. They go through the Children's Defense Fund national training. That was virtual this year. So that's where they really learn in depth the integrated reading curriculum. Because as I said, they are the ones that are going to be teaching that to our scholars. So all of our books are books of color. They are books that mimic the community that we are serving. They are books that have two-parent households. They're books that have just, you know, hey, this scholar lives with their grandparent or don't have, you know, so they're very real, the books and the curriculum that we share with our scholars. So really, you know, putting the interns through that intense training around what that looks like. They then go through a local training here in the Valley. We bring in specialists like Camilla Green. We bring in Hassan Batts. We bring in Reverend Gregory Edwards, who come in and teach about trauma-informed care. They teach about inequities. They teach about just mirroring and seeing, you know, the scholars as a whole. We learn all types of CPR, different things throughout our local training here that we do in the Lehigh Valley, which we just are wrapping up.
So these are lessons and professional development that the interns, certainly they need this summer, but they're going to take with them into life.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And it's wonderful to see the returning interns come back. Mm-hmm. And, you know, while it's great to bring in some new ones, to see the returning interns come back. And these are interns that were once a part of the program. They grew up in the area. They went through Freedom Schools. And then, you know, they fell in love with it and they understand the impact. And then to come back and want to pour into their little brothers and sisters into the kids is wonderful. So,
Katari, you know that our community is one of partnership, collaboration, and certainly relationships.
Absolutely.
Are there other organizations, other nonprofits mm-hmm. that Freedom Schools partner with for success?
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. So this year is our first year. We're going to be on Muhlenberg's campus. So we are excited to have 50 scholars really experience what it's like to be on a campus every day and to get that experience of, you know, eating lunch in a cafeteria of that size and using their libraries and their art centers. So, yes, we are partnering with Muhlenberg. We partner with a ton of local churches in the area, but also big organizations like the United Way. We would not be able to do what we do without the support of the United Way, without the support of our local politician. Susan Wild has really wrapped her arms around Freedom Schools, you know, in the last couple of years and has poured funds and resources into what we are doing. Yeah, we are forever grateful. Allentown School District, Easton Area School District, just with lunches and meals and making sure that our scholars have, you know, an overall wonderful experience.
Oh, so exciting.
Yes.
Katar, let's talk about your leadership and you as a leader. I know prior to this, you mm-hmm. were with Second Harvest Food
yes.
Bank. I know, because I heard you speak at the Women's Summit, yes. that you are a master gardener.
I am.
How cool is that?
I am.
You're about one of... person that I've ever known that's a master gardener.
I am.
What do you think brought you to where you are today doing this role with Freedom Schools?
I was at Second Harvest, so a huge nonprofit in the area, and I loved it. And one of the most, you know, rewarding professional experiences I have ever had during COVID, you know, really mm-hmm. being pushed into that. But I wanted to make a more immediate impact. I want to see the faces that I am, you know, really touching and pouring into. I want to experience and to help firsthand the families that need food access and that need the, you know, the educational support and the home resources. So I wanted to really dig and find a kind of a hyper-local, mm-hmm. you know, approach to what I was doing. I have a background, a master's in education. So I was like, oh, this is it. When the role opened, you know, I applied right away and I knew that this was the place that I wanted to be. This is impacting at such an early age, you know, with these scholars will allow them their greatness, I think, to just blossom along the way. And as they grow into adults and to people that give back to this community. So if I can get them as young as possible mm-hmm. and pour everything that I have into them and, you know, make sure that they have the resources and the safe spaces to continue and fall in love with reading and education, then that's what I want to do.
Katara, was there someone in your life who did that for you?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, I wouldn't be where I am today without the love and support of my mother, teachers that I've experienced throughout the, you know, throughout my journey. I went to a historically Black college, so they, you know, wrapped their arms around me and were able to support me, you know, and teach me things that I didn't even know about myself. So, yeah, absolutely. Absolutely.
What is one of the challenges, if there are any, mm-hmm. that you're facing in this role?
I would say funding and resources. Mm-hmm. We are, you know, very, you know, this is not a huge organization and, you know, the visibility, it's wonderful now to be in these spaces and I'm thankful to you and to, you know, all the people who are now asking, what are Freedom mm-hmm. Schools? How can we be a part of this? What, you know, so really having people understand the value in what we do. Like I said, making sure that they understand the literacy, you know, component of what this is. So, you know, funding is always, I want it to grow. I would love to have, you know, 200 scholars this year, hopefully 500 next year, you know, as many as possible. I want Freedom Schools to be a part of, you know, the local school districts. We should be in the schools. This shouldn't just be a six-week summer program. How can we continue this throughout the way? And that mm-hmm. all takes money and resources and, you know.
Well, I think you're right. I think it's now sort of on the minds of a lot of people.
Yes.
I think we heard for a while freedom schools are happening. Mm-hmm. You know, you have such a fabulous reputation as a leader in the community. And I think people are now saying, wait, what can we do? How can we help? So in addition to funding, which I certainly appreciate, how else can our community get involved?
Yeah. So we have all year long, you know, not even during our 6-week program, we have supply drives. We have snack drives for our program. We do offer a nutritious breakfast and lunch for our scholars because we know that this may be the only meals they eat throughout the day. So making sure that they have those, you know, meals to sustain them. So yeah, definitely supply drives, definitely snacks. We are looking for any type of support. If you're like, hey, I'm an organization that has some space in the basement and we may be able to house, you know, 2 classrooms here. How can we be a part of this next year? How are we able to? So there's definitely ways to help. We always ask people to go back to the website. Website is rcdclv.org. We are under Resurrected Community Development Corporation. They are the overarching entity. We are a program of them. So all of their work is surrounded around child literacy and making sure that our children are prepared for what they're about to, you know, encounter. So,
are there volunteer opportunities?
There is. We have something called a read aloud guest at Freedom School. And every day during our Harambe time, Harambe is a Swahili word that means let's pull together. We do that every single day at our locations in the morning. That happens between 8:30 and 9 a.m. We have all types of guests signing up this year, which is super, super exciting. Like I said, Don Godshaw from Community Action is coming in to read. All types of people throughout the Lehigh Valley have signed up to come in, and they are picking a culturally relevant book, and they are reading to our scholars, and they are really getting, you know, engulfed in what we are doing. We have a bunch of Tocqueville members from United Way that are coming in to read this year. So yes, there is a volunteer link that is up on there that people can sign up to come.
Well, you know, I'll be contacting that link.
Yes, I do.
I'm ready to jump out of my seat right now and
absolutely.
Sign up.
So. Absolutely.
Anything else we should know, Qatar? Anything we didn't get the chance to talk about tonight?
I really just think that, you know, having people understand that this is about making children fall in love with reading and having them see themselves in the pages of these books, you know, it is so, so important. Representation truly does matter. And from the top down, I am a Black woman. And when I can show these, you know what I mean, young little girls that it is possible for them to one day, you know, lead and be in the same position, if not greater, is, you know, that is our job. So excited.
Could you share the website again? I want to make sure you've said so many wonderful nuggets of information.
Absolutely.
And I know our listeners are going to be so engaged and interested.
Absolutely. Please visit rcdclv.org. You will find all the information there. We have our scholar applications in both English and Spanish. We still have some more space available. So if your children are looking for, you know, engaging summer activities, this is the thing to do. We have field trips. We have afternoon activities where there's music and art. We're working with Baum School of Art. We are going to D.C. this year to take a tour of the Capitol with Susan Wild. So a bunch is happening. Go check it out.
Oh, we will. Well, thank you again. And again, we've been joined by Qatar Jordan, the director of the James Lawson Freedom School. So thanks so much for spending time with us tonight and sharing this great information.
Absolutely, Laurie. Thank you.
Thank you, listeners, for making time for this engaging conversation. You can also find past episodes and other public affairs programming at wdiy.org and on all major podcast platforms. I'm Laurie Hackett, and this is WDIY 88.1 FM. Tune in next Monday for more WDIY public affairs programming, and we'll see you next time on A Closer Look.